Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. It is a Thursday. It is the 19th of May. And again, we very much enjoy having you with us. We welcome your comments even. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. If you would like to join in on our conversation, we know you like to do that. We like you to do that. So that's all you have to do is know the email address, roundtable@WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel to you as they file in. Dr. Alan Shartok, reporting for duty. Good morning, sir.
Hello.
How are you? Very nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning, Joseph.
Nice to have you here, Ira Fussfeld. He is the editor. I'm sorry, the publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman.
Nice to see you. You know, Alan was late, and I was all prepared to tell you about the lockbox and what I did last night and all sorts of stuff. But fortunately, he can handle that himself.
Wait, is that a hit?
It's a little shot.
And Chris Churchill is with us. The Times. Hey, why isn't that full? Chris Churchill is here. He is a columnist for the Times Union newspaper.
And a damn good one too.
Joins us whenever we can get in, and we're very nice, very pleased to have you here. Today,
thank you.
Sir.
I'm glad
to be
here.
Much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd like to tell what I did last night.
This is going to be, we make this hour like Regis and Kathy Lee. Yeah.
I'd like to tell what I did that last night, and that was that I went home after takes the afternoon off.
Yes.
And when I got home, I opened my email, and there was a very good, a nice letter saying, we're expecting you to the Albany Roundtable tonight, so I had to come back.
Oh, it was I forgot something.
Yes, I forgot something. And we got an award.
Oh, we got a plaque.
Look at that, Joe. You want to read it?
The Albany Roundtable, which is not this show.
No.
Who stole the name from
No, they've been around for a while.
It would be
great. Infringement.
Yes, we gave Alan an award.
It's not an Alan award.
No,
it's for the
and
station.
It wasn't unanimous.
The Albany Roundtable presents the Good Patroon Award to WAMC Northeast Public Radio for producing thought-provoking and civic-minded programming since 1981.
I always thought it was 1979, but who knows?
On this day of our Lord, May 18th, 2016. It doesn't say that.
Okay, so I got back here, and I'm tired.
Okay, well, I know the award will be prominently displayed in the front lobby.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. We'll have to move something else. We got a lot of awards.
and you know, if you're tired and you'd like to sit back and relax, I'm sure the three of us can carry this very
I'm
well.
Sure you could. But,
it's a little hard to read the mail.
I'm worried about the award here. Let me just put this over here.
You could carry it, but I don't know about it.
You want it to get scratched?
Yeah, I'm concerned that it'll... I don't want it dinged. It's lovely. All right, well, let us first talk about the breaking news and the big story that started to develop last night right before I went to bed, and that was the Egypt Air jet that has been missing, although this morning it has been widely determined, at least from French officials, that the jet crashed. Officials say that it crashed after erratic turns as it was going from Paris to Cairo. And it was not, in relative terms, not far from its destination of Cairo when the last flight position was recorded. And so we are in a bit of a pause pattern, as the information is being received. The president of France has said that no hypothesis has been ruled out, including terrorism. The relatives of the passengers say that they have been told very, very little. Greek officials are saying that the plane did swerve suddenly, and this was after the French president Hollande said that the flight did go down and at sea. So that's sort of what we know as of right now.
Well, thank goodness CNN's going to have something to talk about for the
next 4 days. It's Christmas for them.
Yes. I mean, I hope that most of us who do these things for a living we'll, although it won't happen, we'll resist the temptation to endlessly try to figure out what happened and is it terrorism or what it was it. And they don't know, so we're going to have what is frequently called mindless speculation. And, you know, we'll find out soon enough. But
Well, here's my issue. Do we believe that ISIS is capable or any of those other like-minded groups of doing this kind of thing? Of course we do. And so one of the things I try to do is to get in the mind of these heinous, and I do mean heinous, and awful killers who chop people's heads off and who, you know, who do all these terrible things and say, what is it really that they're trying to achieve here? I don't get that. Assuming, Ira, that it was not just a regular airplane crash and that they did it, what did they get from it? Now, Egypt just announced yesterday that they were back to cooperating with Israel on some kind of peace agreement, which was warmly embraced by none other than Netanyahu. So it is interesting that this comes the day after that happened.
Yeah, so what is it that ISIS would be trying to do? They'd be trying to show that they can do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's, trying to put some sort of motivation into their head seems kind of, all they want to do is breed terror and breed, you know,
But that's a motivation. Yeah, but Chris, that's motivation, right? I mean, that's what
they're trying
to do.
Right, but it's not like they have some sort of greater, scheme or cause, I think.
Well, look at what happened with Osama bin Laden. You hunt them down. You've been hunting down all the heads of ISIS, all the heads of these other groups, and you've been methodically killing them one way or another. What does that get anybody? What does it get them? Dead.
But meanwhile, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't.
And the other thing, too, is that to Alan's point, we have examples of the past where a similar things have happened, and there have been similar scenarios which have led us to find out that it was indeed terrorism, although we have also had similar
sure.
crashes that have taken place within the ocean where a plane has acted erratically prior, and it was not terrorism. So right now, what we know is that, according to the Egyptian minister, that they have three countries working on recovering as much as they can recover to determine the truth and know what happened.
I think a more fruitful exercise of mindless speculation would be, if in fact this is terrorism, if it's proven to be terrorism, what is the impact going to be on the presidential race? Because it's been said for quite some time that Trump's extreme views on Muslims, etc., which turn off a number of people, certainly seems to be more than are turned on by it, might be altered if there is a terrorist attack, if there's another Paris-like shooting, that kind of thing. And so if, in fact, this proves to be terrorism, does that move the dial on the presidential race?
It certainly seemed to help him after San Bernardino, didn't it? I mean,
right.
That's what a lot of people credit
and
that
Brussels.
For help. Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, you know, Ira and Chris, I have an issue here. Yes, Ira, people like me and others have criticized Trump for obviously playing to one group and playing to the fears of Americans. But I think he knows what he's doing. And I think underneath it all, there are those people who buy the story. They buy the gag. They buy the premise. And who while they would never say it out loud, they wouldn't say it to their pollster, they wouldn't say it to their mother, they believe it. And he knows that. And I think that that's why he gets over with it.
I don't disagree. And that's why something like this, if it proves to be terrorism, is more than not going to help him.
So 3 hours ago, Donald Trump tweeted, "Looks like yet another terrorist attack. Airplane departed from Paris. When will we get tough, smart, and vigilant? Great hate and sickness."
Right. Yeah, he'd leave it to him to immediately glom onto this and use it for his advantage.
So that is coming from his camp. Although, again, we have no hard evidence at all. We can speculate, as you noted, Ira, but we have no we have no other information to indicate that. Also, and I know there are exceptions to every single rule, but given the lockdown and given the security because of Brussels, because of Paris, because of what has been happening in Europe, that airport was under tremendous security. Yeah. It is hard to believe that anything would be able to get in there. And yet, in the stories that I heard this morning, because of whether it be crew from the airline or something else, you don't know. But the security crackdown that has taken place in those airports has been so incredible that it is hard to believe that anything could get through. But of course, you don't know.
Well, let me answer that. I'll take you back to Anwar Sadat, who was murdered by his own guards. By one of his own guards. Terrible. But is there really a way to stop it? I don't know. There have been a spate of stories over the years. Every time a newspaper wants to win a Pulitzer Prize, they send a reporter in to see if he can beat the system. And inevitably, they do. They do. They can get through. They can get on. And the fact that, this report is coming that the plane was going in an erratic fashion, it suggests 9/11, if you think about it, because, here
we
go.
Some sort of struggle.
Mindless speculation. Not you personally, but this is what
of course
we just don't know. Many different things could have happened.
Of course you meant it in a personal fashion. When you say mindless speculation.
But of course.
Well, let me hear about that award again.
Yeah, we'll...
the Mindless Speculation Award.
And we'll obviously the BBC and NPR will be reporting on this throughout the day, as well as WAMC. So we'll have more on it on Midday Magazine, and throughout the morning in our updates. In fact, one that we'll be getting in just 6 minutes from now. So we'll have more on this story. So let's go to other stuff that's happening in our world. Do we have any letters on that particular thing, Alan, that you want to get out of the way before we...
Al, who writes us quite frequently and who I sometimes agree with, but not always, says, religious fanatics kill as directed by their God. There is no secular purpose. You don't question your God. You just do it. Now, that's interesting. These are people who rape, behead, do terrible things. And by the way, they put somebody else on the airplane to do in the past to do their dirty work. So it's hardly, that they are listening to their almighty God, other than to say they are converting whatever they want into what they say their God wants them to do. I reject Al's letter out of hand.
You can call him, Al.
I agree with him that it's fruitless to try to search for a purpose, though.
Oh no, I would fight with you on that, Chris. I good, join the club. So I think that we have to understand what is in the heads of these people in order to combat what they're doing. That's what I think.
We are.
You want more?
Yeah, go ahead. If there is more, I'll take more. If not, I'll move on to another topic before the news break.
Ted said this is not a shot, but you are, A-R-E, capital letters, engaging in mindless speculation.
Exactly. Who is that from?
I don't know. He's gone already.
He's already been removed.
Congratulations to whomever wrote that. I agree 100%.
Well, yeah, just because you don't like me.
But you do agree, obviously, that when you have something like this, you do have to address it and at least discuss what the possibilities are.
Yeah, it's the danger of the cable news networks, in particular CNN, which people turn to in these kinds of stories, is that people supposedly are not watching it all day long. So if you turn on CNN at 10 a.m. and then shut it off, and somebody else turns it on 11, you want to see the news. So they have to be repeating it and repeating it. The problem is, after they've reported the initial news, which is this plane has disappeared, they spend the rest of the day with various experts speculating as to what happened. And it can drive you crazy, number one. But number two, it's just speculation. How often does your boss allow you to speculate outside of your column?
What do you mean outside of his column? That's what he does for a living.
I speculate for a living.
But that's one piece of the newspaper.
Yeah.
So
right.
So what's on CNN right now and will be for the rest of the day? Mindless speculation?
No, I don't think it's mindless.
Would they allow a Chris Churchill on the air to constantly repeat his point on the air all day long?
Okay. So Kenny says, ISIS is involved in an endless campaign to goad us into war and spend ourselves into oblivion. Part of their prophecy is complete annihilation, so they will continue to provoke it. And that's from Kenny.
Possibly. All right.
You know,
and one more, and we'll go to a break.
Perhaps, says Michael, it's mindful speculation. That's what he just said.
All right.
As opposed to mindless speculation.
And Andrew says, marketing, promote your brand of terror, one. Two, destabilize local governments and many others in line with political and financial goals of the organization. That's from Andrew. And I think Andrew gets what I've been talking about here, as opposed to those who just, you know, just reject putting this stuff on the radio.
I don't think you were after us. You were after the cable news networks.
He's after me.
I would, you know, broadcast.
I know you think he's after you.
Joe will appreciate this because he is the only other person who likes David Letterman more than I do. And David Letterman.
Because he gave him a jacket.
Well, and I would envy him for that. And I've never seen him wear it in the building, so you must have it locked up.
But yeah. Anyway, David
Letterman would go on the air, and he would do something stupid with his face or with his tie and stare at the camera, and then he'd say, I'm the only thing on CBS right now. Well, this is the thing with the broadcast networks. They show the same thing all day. The newspapers are reporting the same story, but if you don't want to read about it, you turn the page and you read another
story.
Well,
so why are they doing it? Or you could, by the way, Ira, you can still find Gunsmoke somewhere on the channel without watching that. You know what I mean?
Yes, and you can buy another newspaper if you don't like the one you're buying. But if you want people to stay with your brand, you've got to provide them what they want and what they need to know. And there's a line there between giving them too much, between giving them news and giving them, we guess this is what it is.
I don't think you're right.
Well, it becomes okay, we're out of time. But let's go to a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about this. We'll go to some letters. We'll take some other stuff, other stories that we'll take up. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Chris Churchill, Ira Fussfeld, and Alan Chartok make up the panel this morning. And, of course, we do welcome your letters. We'll get an update from the BBC now to find out what is happening in Egypt and elsewhere next. I think I've worked here for 22 years. And I remember when I first started working here, we were in Alan's office, and one of the things, Alan actually had a sign on his door which says, WAMC has learned. And that was one of the things that we as a newsroom were supposed to make sure, that we broke stories. That we didn't steal them from you guys in the papers. No, we broke stories.
We took them and then we broke them.
Right, that's right. We stole them and then we broke them, right. And then, so that was always a mantra. And, so I do get to say, I think I get to say, or Alan really is the one who gets to say, you heard it here first. Because I believe that this is true. But when it comes to Donald Trump making his Supreme Court announcements yesterday as to who was going to be on a Supreme Court, did you not, sir?
Several times.
On this very program, say that watch, in a couple of days, he's going to release his Supreme Court nominees.
Well, that's a very nice way of putting it, because I was both wrong and right. I was absolutely right that he would do that. It would seem self-evident to me that he would say, in order to win, he would say, these are the people I want to put on the Supreme Court. I was absolutely right about that. I hadn't heard anybody else say it. I said it again and again. WAMC has learned that. Okay.
Do you have the tape? We should play the tape.
Oh, we do. It's on our website.
What I got wrong about it was, I assumed he was going to name so-called acceptable Supreme Court judges.
More liberal.
So that the Democrats would vote for him. Instead, I was wrong. He named conservative judges in order to coalesce his Republican group behind him. And so that's where I got it wrong.
But there is, in our Trumpian world, a lot of the people that he named, I say a lot of people, he named five people, two of them have said, I don't really like him.
Oh yeah, at least.
One of them has openly mocked him on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't what? Where'd you get my name? I don't want to be named by you. So that, I mean, that says a lot too, doesn't it? But wouldn't you think that there would be some weird vetting, or is it just like Googling people and putting it on your website?
No, I credit Alan for being with the WAMC as learned business. I did not think that if he'd named people, they were going to be liberals. For just the opposite reason.
Well, how do we know that you really thought that?
Where's the tape?
Well, show us the tape. You only invite me on every couple of weeks. Yeah. I sit at home saying all this brilliant
stuff. And that's why.
Yeah, and that's why. I sit at home saying all this brilliant stuff, and nobody's listening to me.
Yeah.
My wife's out playing golf, and I'm in the house by myself. I am not surprised that he named conservatives, because I think he felt the need to shore up that bona fide of his resume with conservatives. I think he runs the risk now of turning off some people who might have been going either way.
That's
who
right.
Thought he would be more moderate.
If he named liberals yesterday, there would be uproar in his GOP group.
Yeah.
Right, which is the group he needs to solidify right now. But he's
still got to win a general election.
Yeah, but that's a few months away, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for right now, he needs to get the base behind him, and this is a good way to do it.
Well, I suppose, but except, Chris, that one of the things that I keep seeing is when I'm arguing with somebody and we hear from a Bernieite.
When you rarely.
Yeah, when I hear from a Bernieite, right? And they say, I will never, ever vote for that woman, ever. And I always say, well, then what about the Supreme Court? See? Now, if Trump had said acceptable people to the Supreme Court, what I think was the great motivation would have disappeared to some extent.
Yeah, but there are also all these conservatives saying, I will never, ever vote for that guy ever. So, Trump, I mean. And so, you know, he's got to worry about them, too.
Well, there are less of them than the middle and the Democrats.
Well,
that's where he has to go.
Well, let me throw in one other thing.
Yeah.
Given what we've know about Trump so far.
Yes.
He said, here are the 11 people, I'm considering them. I don't believe a word he says.
No.
What's to change?
He's a liar.
He may not choose any of those 11 if he is ever elected.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's absolutely true. And that must have occurred to all of us. But, you know, when you say you were sitting home and you were yelling at the radio and all of that.
Well, usually,
there's an old Yiddish expression. And loosely translated, it goes, hindsight stinks.
Okay.
Get it?
Yeah,
I get it. In other words, anybody could say, I was thinking that. But unless it's on the tape, it doesn't happen.
Newspaper. It's like out of The Godfather. Why do you hurt me, Alan?
I always knew it was you.
Because you're there.
Because I'm there, yeah. Rosemary!
All right.
Anyways, let's go back to this Trump thing, too.
Yes,
I think it worked. I think a lot of conservatives yesterday were encouraged by this, and I think he did kind of quiet some of the murmurs and whispers and all that.
And he once again took over the news cycle for another day.
Until 11 o'clock last night.
Yes.
Although
he tried to steal it again.
Yep. Okay. Anyone else on that issue?
And what did you say about Bernie, who, according to the headline in today's New York Times, doesn't care if he harms Hillary?
That is the story I sent out last night, and were talking
a very
about
important
it earlier,
story.
Which is, let me bring it up here, Bernie Sanders eyeing the convention with aides saying that he is willing to hurt Hillary Clinton in the home stretch. Defiant and determined to transform the Democratic Party, Senator Bernie Sanders is opening a two-month phase of his presidential campaign aimed at inflicting a heavy blow on Hillary Clinton in California and amassing enough leverage to advance his agenda at the convention in July or even wrest the nomination from her. Advisors to Mr. Sanders said on Wednesday that he was newly resolved to remain in the race, seeing an aggressive campaign as his only chance to pressure Democrats into making fundamental changes to how presidential primaries and debates are held in the future. So my question is, will many people see that as a good argument made at the wrong time? Meaning, a good argument, good principled argument, but what about the fact that you are hurting the person who could potentially, the only other person who could be Donald Trump?
Yeah. Well, that is the question. I keep thinking back to The Bridge on the River Kwai, one of the great movies of all times. You remember Alec Guinness played the colonel who built the bridge so that the men could survive. And then he forgot why he was doing it. And when they tried to blow up the bridge at the end of the movie, he tried to stop them so that the Japanese could get their munitions and everything across the river. Now I'm looking at Chris Churchill's face. It's totally perplexed. He has no idea.
I'm just enjoying the story.
He has no idea what I'm talking about.
William Holden. It was great.
He has no idea what I'm talking about.
1957, really great film.
But yeah, when films were good back in those days. But I think that maybe Bernie, maybe, and I voted for Bernie. You know that, of course. I've not announced that a number of times. But I think Bernie may be forgetting what this is about. Are you telling me that if Trump puts four conservative judges on the Supreme Court of the United States, this reminds me of the screaming match I had with Ralph Nader one time about this very same issue. We have plenty of people drive Priuses around my hill and who clip their coupons and live off of, their parents' wealth and stuff like that. And they say, well, no, I'll never vote for Hillary. Well, I understand the reservations, but on the other hand, decisions and choices have to be made.
But doesn't he have the right to fight to the end, though? I mean, California is the biggest blue state.
Sure.
I mean, those people have a right to weigh in on this.
Sure.
He has the right, certainly. My question is, though, given the mathematics, given what would have to happen, which seems like a very, very big long shot, wouldn't it, even if you were going to fight to the end, would it now be a time to tone it down a little bit to unify the party?
Well,
because there is Donald Trump on the other side.
Well, I don't know. We heard from Peter. Bernie has now crossed over into querulous old man territory. His ego won't let him help the party or write. He has never belonged to it. Peter.
Well, he also feels mistreated. He feels like this has been stacked
against
him.
He always do.
Well, he's got.
I feel mistreated every time I was on the show.
He's got a good claim, though, that it was stacked against him, that he didn't get a fair fight. And
I feel mistreated as a United States citizen. Did you see the obit, by the way, with a woman in Alabama? That was excellent.
What was that?
She said that. I'll find it.
Basically, he said rather than vote for either Hillary or Donald Trump, I'm dying.
It has gone into the arms of our Lord.
Yeah, she's happy.
And she said, in lieu of flowers, please don't give money to Donald Trump.
By the way, I get it.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I do too.
Well, whoever just wrote about the old man thing, so one of the commentators last night said, and he was very careful to say, I'm not trying to be ageist, but he says, Bernie reminds me now of an angry old man who is running his last race and just doesn't care what he says or how he says it, and it's become all about him at this point. He's forgotten to a large extent, this commentator says, his reason for being. I happen to agree with Joe. I think he has a right. Certainly, he's earned the right to go right to the end. But the message that he is sending now is helping to split the party. He's not paving the way for an ultimate reconciliation. And I don't know if it will be enough. And when he raises his hand with her above the convention, that will be enough to get all of his supporters to go with him.
I think there's plenty of time, though. Yeah.
It seems like two or three weeks ago he had a chance that I didn't think. Well, I agree. I guess I agree with you, but my question is about what our last writer said, and that was ego. But before, I like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, he's in this for the good fight. He's doing this for all the right reasons. And now it seems like, is he?
Yeah. No, people get caught up in the righteousness of their argument. And when Ira talks about angry old men who...
I'm quoting somebody else.
I took that as a shot.
Well, you are a year older than Bernie.
Chris,
but
I have
an anecdote that combines my sometimes disdain for cable news and Bernie. The other night during the programming of the Kentucky primary, both MSNBC and CNN, I wasn't watching Fox, ran in the lower left of the screen an empty podium awaiting a Bernie rally in Carson, California. And at one point, when the preliminary speakers were coming up, one of the speakers was Frances Farmer, a sort of middle-of-the-road actress, and she was wearing a T-shirt with the F word on it. Well, CNN kept it on for about 2.5 seconds until I'm sure somebody said, wait, do you see what's on that T-shirt? And finally, that box went away. So there was that I thought, there was no reason to be showing that empty podium all that time, yet they were doing it. That said, what is a professional actress and someone who is going to get up in front of millions of people on TV and thousands of people in a stadium wearing a shirt that has the F word on it? What does that say about her? What does it say about the campaign? What does it say about the rhetoric in these campaigns?
I know, and I don't care. All I know is that Kenny has written he's not an angry old man. It's a brilliant plan. He will twist her arm so badly they will have to adopt major portions of his agenda that they would not have agreed to otherwise. Once the Democratic Party is finally representing these values, I believe he'll go there and stump for Hillary. Well, you believe it, but maybe you're wrong. See, that's the point. It's getting increasingly
People off along the way. Yeah. Some of them will come on board, but will all of them come on board?
I think he's sensing, too, that he may get ignored at the convention or may not get the starring role that he might like to have. This is a way. I mean, especially if he wins California. I mean, that'll be a big.
Yeah, but if you make everybody matter, yeah, is that a way to get your fair shake instead of going and say, look, I'm this is what I'm looking for.
Well,
and
if
start
keeps,
brokering the deal now.
Right, but the more delegates he gets into that convention hall, the more likely it is that they have to listen to what he has
to say.
Well,
the other part of his message is that the primaries have been rigged against him. And so if he's going to turn particularly the young people off on the system, if he doesn't get the nomination, the young people may just throw up their hands and saying, this is not my system. I don't want any part of it.
Hey, Table, says Shane. Great discussion. However, I'm fed up with Bernie. I think the priority should be to make the Democratic Party safe for women, not make it safe for men who yell anti-women threats under the guise of new, young excitement and energy. And that's what.
What happened to all those letters that started out, I agree with Ira? They were up
there.
They've
all been deleted.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of those, but I did see several, I agree with Alan.
Where are they all the I agree those with Chris letters? There must be millions of them.
And here's the,
it's called a filter, ladies and gentlemen.
And here's the beauty. I'm reading the letters.
Yeah.
The keeper of the flame.
Let's take a break. We'll look for the missing letters, and we'll be back.
They are not missing.
Support comes from Teakwood Builders, boutique custom builder and remodeler working throughout the Capital Region, providing on-site management, craftsmen, and designers for home additions or remodels. Teakwoodbuilders.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting the indie rock quartet Luna in concert on May 28th and the National with Yaesu on June 11th, massmocha.org. Schoharie Valley Farms, home of the Carrot Barn, a farm for all seasons with valley-grown fruits, vegetables, and greenhouse crops, local meats and dairy, plus a full deli. SchoharieValleyFarms.com. And the Green Toad Bookstore, Oneonta's independent bookseller serving the local and college community, book signings, book clubs, personalized service. GreenToadBookstore.com.
Sadly, we only have 9 minutes left, so we're going to try to get as much show in as we possibly can, and we will continue. I do want to get to some letters, but I also wanted to get to the now I can't find the story. Did anybody make anything out of Trump's financial disclosure, which was very similar to the disclosure, 12 more pages than there were last year? When he announced that he was running, but really he said that has made more money, but that amount has not been given, which sort of renewed calls once again for the actual tax returns to be filed.
I want to know where those tax returns are, and I want to know why it's clear he doesn't want to release them.
You know, Paul Krugman made the point because somebody was saying Trump's supposed reason for not releasing them is because they're under audit. And Paul Krugman in the New York Times, great economist, is saying—
Nobel Prize winning economist.
Yeah. Why is he worried about them being under audit if you released tax returns that were not under audit, and perhaps there was something in the tax returns that would make you get audited, well, maybe I don't want to release the tax returns, but they're already under audit. What is he afraid of? And that's, of course, the $64 question.
Yeah, that answer doesn't make, or that excuse doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's just...
I'll say anything and I'll get away with it. That's the mantra. Anything I want to say.
Well, and so far, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We'll go to some letters now. And
okay, Bob says.
We have a lot.
Bob says, there's no such thing as angry old women, as the anger seems in women 60 who think it's time for a woman president, no matter what she does or doesn't stand for. And David says, in 1968, when RFK entered the race, should Eugene McCarthy have dropped out? Well, I think he saw the handwriting on the wall. I'm old enough to remember it all very, very well.
A lot of similarities.
Yeah. I still don't. I always kind of hate these calls for people to drop out early. And I mean, let it play out all the way to the end. Let everybody who still hasn't voted get their chance to vote. Like I said, California is the biggest and most important blue state. Let that state weigh in. There's no rush. Everybody wants to push everybody off the stage, and I don't see why that has to happen so soon.
Because you want to win an election.
Yeah, but I don't think it really, in the long run, I mean, November is a long, long, long way off.
That's
and
true.
There's a lot that's going to happen between now and then.
You're
I don't
always
think
a
anything
voice
that's happening
reason.
Now is going to have much effect on
You're
that.
Always a voice of reason. I just disagree with it.
But okay. Can't his message be... these are the kinds of things that we, the Democratic Party, ought to stand for, and these are the kinds of things that I stand for, and these are the kinds of things that ought to be in the platform. Why? Because we need to beat Donald Trump and not demean Hillary at the same time.
Is he really demeaning her very much right now?
I think he's been very aggressive against her.
No, I think so.
Her. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So Eric says, how will everyone feel about Bernie when Trump dissolves Congress and rules by fiat? That ain't going to happen. Lippman says, how does Sanders make the case that he is the better candidate to defeat Trump if he gives up his values and simply goes along to get along? How is Sanders making it worse when the entire DNC has done all it can to shut him down? This campaign may be the last chance in many of our lifetimes. And by the way, I think this is a profound letter, not because I agree with it, because I think it is how people on the Sanders side feel about it. Many of our lifetimes turn away from the corporate-controlled election cycle, and I certainly support Sanders making the case as strongly as he can that he stands for what he does while pointing out that the Hillary stands for different things in a very different Democratic Party. And yet, as I have always said, choices are to be made here. You're going to have to choose whether or not you want to win or you want to make the point.
Can we also point out, though, that Bernie is winning elections? I mean, it's not like he's getting crushed day in and day out and still inflicting harm on Hillary. I mean, he almost won Kentucky. He won Oregon pretty handily. I mean,
right.
it's not like he's not doing well here.
He's still millions of votes behind, and I'm a Bernieite. I voted for Bernie. I want to keep repeating that. But he's millions of votes behind. He is not going to get the nomination. That's it, Chris.
You're right.
He's not going to get the nomination, and he is hurting the party of which he was not part until just now.
Right. Isn't that a key thing, too? But he was not a part of that party for his entire career.
Right. He doesn't feel the loyalty to it that somebody else might.
And Gregory says, good for Bernie. Fight it out till the end and spread your point of view. The system gave it to Hillary, and now they want all of us to shut up and accept her just out of fear of Trump. And then it goes on, but... too long. Okay. So, how new progressive, I'm not going to read that. Okay. Trump, head of IRS, says there's no reason not to release tax audits because they're being audited. Right. And like that. So, W says something. While Sanders is still mathematically the candidate for the Democratic nomination, he should continue a vehement campaign. The end game is to get a progressive agenda in the party platform, and that's Bill from Kinderhook. And Alan misses nothing, including everything he ignores, says James. If Trump wins the election, we have only Bernie to blame, says Hank.
I think that's silly. I mean,
Well, no.
What, if Trump loses, then do we have Ted Cruz to blame? I mean, that's, you know, it's a contest. Let them fight the contest out.
Well, but wait a second now, Chris. I have tremendous respect for your excellent columns.
Get ready.
Put my helmet on.
But the logic here is a little bit insipid in that, if that's the right word, in that Cruz has cut out.
Yeah, Cruz got out when he started to lose election after election. Bernie is still winning elections.
Yeah, well,
that's the key difference.
Yeah, well, you
if
make
Cruz,
a point.
If Cruz had been fighting... Had been
but a, does he have a mathematical... shot
no, he does
of
not.
Getting the nomination.
She's within
probably
100.
Not, but what if superdelegates start to change their minds?
Oh, stop.
That's what Bernie is hoping. He's hoping to raise enough doubts about Hillary, and there are reasons to have lots of doubts about Hillary. The superdelegates will begin to waver.
What if a plane flew through the WAMC right now? Ain't going to happen.
Good.
Okay.
mindless speculation.
Okay. Listen to the show. Does Alan actually think that when ISIS... saws off another head, the thought that have is if I cut off his head, it will result in X, Y, or Z? All the conversations and strategy behind these sorts of actions, in my opinion, are absurd. These acts are not cold-blooded calculation. They are acts of people at war in any society that have experienced war. There's no shortage of people motivated by blind rage. I'm not going to answer it because I've already answered it, and I don't want to answer it again. And Kenny says, if there's one thing that Trump has proven, it's that the public has a very short memory. And Arlene says, even Fox has announced, we hear from Arlene quite frequently, even Fox has announced Bernie has a much better chance of beating Trump than Hillary. Oh, I wonder if they had any motivation in doing that.
Well, all that proves is that they can read the poll.
Right. Well, and William says, who will elect president, the Democratic Republican parties or the American voters? And that's from Bill of Little Falls. And Barbara says, PolitiFact finds Sanders' analysis of Nevada false. Stacy says, Bernie is in it for himself. His true side is showing. Democrats need to kick him to the curb. And he's something mistreated by who he has recently adopted party. Please. I'm just reading what's on the paper.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
One more, and then we're going to go.
Okay. Joe's argument. Says you that Bernie started with a good argument. Bernie has always said, my liberal highway, or off with your head. I and most of the voters in this country are moderates. It would be disastrous for a Democrat to choose Bernie's path. And Chris, he's not a Democrat. Well, he is now. He says he is.
The final primaries are, what, in two weeks away?
Yeah, it's June 7th.
So this will all be over in 2 weeks. It's not like it's whatever harm is being done or whatever is being said now will all be forgotten by the time the general election rolls around.
But we still have the tape.
And in the, by the way, Joe, and very quickly, in a very important note from Tom.
Yes.
Remember, Alec Guinness did finally remember what he was doing there at the last possible moment before getting killed. Yeah, well, that's the whole point.
Bridge on the River Kwai, yes. Alan Chartok, Ira Fussfeld, Chris Churchill. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Good to
thank you very much. We'll be back with more program after this.